This is the regular meeting of the Board of Education, West Covina Unified School District, January 21st, 2014. This evening's meeting is called to order at 6 o'clock. Is there anybody that would like to make comment to the board regarding closed session items? Seeing none, we will adjourn to closed session. Okay, we are back in session. It is 7:40. I'm back from closed session. We will begin this evening with an invocation. I'll do that and flag salute. Please rise. Let's just take a moment to collect our thoughts and think about where we're going to go tonight in this meeting. Please join me in the salute to our flag.
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
By the time we get back here, so I go to the roll call and I'll let you adjust the roll call when she gets in.
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Cross?
Here.
Mrs. Polis?
Here.
Mrs. Miranda Jimenez? Ms. Shoemaker?
Here.
And Mrs. Kaplan?
Here.
All right. In a report out of closed session this evening, in closed session, the board took action, the following action. It was moved by Lee Miranda Jimenez and seconded by Cami Polis, and by a vote four to nothing, the board took action to approve the settlement agreement related to case OAH case number 2013100751, and the vote was 4-0. Let's see. The following action taken in closed session, moved by Lynn Miranda Jimenez, seconded by Cami Polis, that the following student has completed their term and condition of expulsion and has been approved by the Board of Education for readmission to the West Covina Unified School District. Student number 202849 to lift the expulsion and enroll in district of residence, and the vote was 4-0. I have nothing to report. Anybody else? Nothing.
For the board report? Oh, sorry.
Huh?
For the... Are we here?
Pay attention. Come on.
I'm sorry. Okay, I wanted to report that Dan Estrada's funeral was wonderful, and it was so great to see the staff that was out there. There was a lot of staff from Edgewood and Merced, so... I wanted to say that it went very well, and I appreciate everyone who attended and the support that the district gave.
Thank you. Do you have anything else?
Yeah. I don't have a student report, right?
Yes. I have no request to speak from the audience. Is there anybody that would like to address the board at this time? No? All right. Next item is the approval of the agenda and consent items. Any changes?
I had some things to the minutes.
All right. You know, sometimes when people bring things to your attention because people are looking at it through fresh eyes, there's many things we take for granted. So the first one was on page...
No, we're not talking about it. We're just talking about... Do you want to consent or not?
Oh,
do you want to take it off of consent?
Item three. And yes, let me take the...
You want to switch here? Maybe you do better over here.
Minutes are two.
Item two. So you want to remove item
take three.
Two.
Three off.
Three is
the board policy. You want to take three off? Do you want to take
three? Yes, the revision of the board policy off of consent.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. Earlier.
What about two?
Yes, and I'll come back to the minutes when we get to number two. Sorry, because we're on item
consent.
One. Oh, then take two off. Sorry. All right, so I'm taking two things off consent.
Anything else?
No, that's it for me.
I will move as amended with taking 2 and 3 off.
I'll second it.
Any objections? Motion passes 4-0.
Okay.
Item number 2, minutes of the meeting.
Thank you. As I was stating, on page 2 of our minutes, like I said, it was brought to my attention. Again, we get accustomed to our minutes and agendas because we look at them. Mm-hmm.
Page 48.
For items from the floor, members of the audience address the board to protest and to support instructional material on the agenda for board approval. Could we, as a group, agree to add material on the agenda, item number 171, so it gives some sort of context? Because I was asked, well, what was being talked about? So item 171, it says right there, instructional materials review report. So that was the first suggestion I was going to make. The second thing that was asked of me was the very next item, the approval of the agenda and consent items. The body of the text says item number 3, but when someone's looking at our minutes, there's no reference to item number 3. So can we change item number 3 to item number 64 or number 3 slash number 64? Because I understand the 3 refers to our prior agenda, but the item 64 would help the public in understanding what was being referenced. So again, like I said, I take these things for granted. I could read it, but when it was asked of me. And then the next thing on page 49 was, I know why the caged bird sing, number item 171. That needs to be italicized because that's the title of a book. It could be either underlined or italicized, but it needs to be italicized. And then the last thing, this is just me asking. This is me asking. Prior to the roll call, when we open session, if we can just add, because we did do a special invocation in memoriam of Brian Nino, Joshua Marcello, and Dan Estrada, and it's not indicated anywhere. And I know for the families in the community, that would probably be nice or be good and responsible of us. So those were my suggestions.
No.
Because we end the meeting, no, which I agree with.
Make references to the... If you want to do that to every specific item, if you want to do that, I think it's a bit much, but on the items from the floor. What was the other one?
Well, the other ones that we can easily read.
Just
it's just those we
just
couldn't.
Make those two references.
Just
specific
make those two references. That was it.
And then
what were the names again, please?
Oh.
No, not on those. Not on the invocation. Invocation is as is.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my opinion.
That's
your... Else?
Well, okay. Cammy, Jessica?
You want... Switch with
you.
No.
The invocation, yeah. I'm okay, since it was in memory of, specific community members, because we do have it was adjourned in memory of Kathy Howard. I'm fine with that. For the one on 48, adding in with where it says with the addition of item number 3, I mean, I guess it could be changed. I really don't see the point, because you look at the agenda, you see number 3. So
never state the numbers unless you want
did
the
that.
Name added.
Kathy Howard is mentioned here.
Mm. Yeah, but the invocation that was
the prayer she gave
in memory of
the two students and the teacher.
I mean the custodian.
So yes, I'm fine with that one.
And then the I Know Why Caged Birds Sing was my last one.
That's just
grammatical. And?
That was it. That was it for the minutes.
What did you need?
On her question number on page 48, item number 3, are we adding the title? Are we adding the reference number when it appears in the minutes? Because if those numbers are reflected at the time of the minutes,
right.
If you move an item or something, or those numbers will change. So...
Well, like I said, however, it will help the public follow our minutes as they're reading it, because those questions were asked of me. I breezed over it because I understood what we were doing. Maybe the title, yeah, and maybe
no,
the title.
It's fine. Item number 3 is fine. This is
item number 3.
On
a reference to
here.
Here. Oh, yeah, item three is fine.
Because when we talked about the approval of our agenda consent items,
we don't talk about items 165 and 67.
Or
so
maybe...
if somebody went back and listened to the tape, they'd be confused if all of a sudden on our agenda is talking about item number
164
versus when we say we're amending item number three on our agenda. So I think it needs to just stay how it is.
Can I just ask for some clarification?
I wish you would, because I've got no point.
Now, from items from the floor, you were just going to add the title of the book there?
We could add the title of the book if that makes it easier.
I didn't know what was agreed to.
No. She wanted to add item number 171.
So that if someone's
reading... That's an irrelevant number.
Yeah, so then Monica suggested the title of the book, and I said, that's fine.
No.
That way, as someone reads it, they understand what was being discussed.
And my opinion, no. It's just they addressed issues of items on the agenda, and that's it. It's open, it's broad. That way, what happens if we get 25 people talking about 25 things? You want 25 things listed? Or just say, if you're that concerned, listen to the
listen
board
to
minute?
To the tape.
Okay, so I'm hearing that we're changing the invitation. We are leaving items from the floor, approval of agenda and consent items the way they are, underlining or italicizing, I know where the caged bird sits.
And where are you going?
Under the instructional materials review report. It's on for you.
And where are you going to mention the invocation?
Prior to the roll call.
Prior to the roll call.
It's not in there, so she's just going to add it, right?
Yes.
And do you think people are going to want to know who led the pledge, too?
No, but, I mean, this time it was...
No, it was...
I understand, but let's,
it was,
you know...
Okay. And so, if my understanding is correct, I will move the minutes as read.
That is.
And in the future, maybe, since we don't have a place for invocation,
you second
that we can always adjourn it in memory.
Yes.
And we know that, so it could have been adjourned in all four people.
In all four people's
names. And then we won't have to worry about this in the future.
I like that, and that was I was going to do moving forward.
And I will second...
I got a second already.
Oh, okay.
Any objections? Motion so ordered. Item number three.
That's, thank you. Is that me?
Okay.
On page 3B, I had... I just had some clarification that I needed to understand, and then I have just little minor typo stuff that I caught before we go final.
When did you catch those?
When I was reading it this weekend, and yesterday was a holiday.
Right.
Okay. So on page 3B, under item 3, where it says they'll have at least three opportunities and up to five times in a school year, I was confused because if they have at least three opportunities to take the sections, then they would be able, they would have up to six abilities to take the test. So I was confused by the numbering there. Somebody can help me?
Mr. Seaman?
What's the confusion?
Well, it says they have, in their 12th grade year, they have at least three opportunities. And they may elect to take the KC up to five times. So those the numbers aren't they have either do they either have three opportunities or do they have five opportunities to take it?
They have
because it doesn't
a minimum of three when you take it.
Okay.
Have at least three and may take it
may
up to five.
Okay. Then they're in two separate
No. Two.
Right.
At least three opportunities.
Okay, so we're saying that's a minimum. Okay, then thank
that
you.
Shall have.
Then they're up to five is a maximum, so they can... So do we offer it up to five times in the senior year? Okay. Thank you. That was the clarification I needed. on that. And then on page 3C, I was going to suggest on the very first sentence where it says, the superintendent or designee may provide a student taking an exit exam with extra time with a testing day, simplified or clarified test directions, but not test questions. The provide applies to the first part and then that second after the second comma, but you can't provide student marks. You're not going to give them a book that's already marked up. So I was suggesting taking that sentence, student marks other than responses, including highlighting and test books, just switch that to the last comma to then say, and allow students marks other than responses, including highlighting and test booklets. Because the others we can provide. We can provide a small group setting. We can provide extra time. We can provide clarification to the test directions. So that was going to be my suggestion. We just switch the order and add the word allow. Is that okay with everybody?
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, is that okay? Okay. And then on page 3D, the very last section where it says response accommodations include, I think that including was just overlooked because I noticed it was strike through in other places. And then on 3E, on that first section where it says scheduling, timing, accommodations include, item number 3 has the word and, but we don't use and in any other section when we're numbering, so I was just going to suggest to eliminate the and so that we're consistent. I went through and compared, so. And I think, oh, and on 3I, the very last paragraph, where we underline it showing the change that any student found by the district to have cheated or assisted, I was going to suggest the letter S, assisted others in cheating, as opposed to assisted other in cheating. And that was it. And then I just had a general question, and that was, is there any other consequences besides not getting the score when they are found cheating or assisting others? And they can take the test again?
I think they would be up for discipline within the school.
Okay. Thank you.
They remain a student, they would be able.
Okay. So those were my clerical suggestions.
Is there a motion on this item?
I'll move it.
As?
I will move it as amended. As.
Objections. Item 4, candidate application, Board of Education candidate application process.
Well, basically, well, what we apply, what we, based on the conversation that we had at our last meeting, we included the application that was used last time and some suggested questions in terms of asking applicants. I think one of the concerns last time was the first applicant that comes in, be interviewed, could walk out and let everybody else know what the questions were and to make it a fair playing field to have the questions available to all. I did contact our attorney. Everything does have to be in public session, including whatever suggestions of questions you have, unless you want to have the president of the board that in writing people would provide suggestions, and the president of the board would then decide what questions are going to be in the actual process. So we put in things for you to look at and to respond to for the seating of another board member.
Okay, I don't see it right now, but I saw the questionnaire that we used in 2003.
That was in your backup.
Mm-hmm.
And I also provided. In the agenda.
It's in the agenda? Okay.
Yeah, item 4A.
The application is in the agenda. In your packet were the questions you actually used. In the update. I guess the first decision is the application, is this the application that you suggest? Are there any changes you made to it? The second question to the board is, do you want to discuss questions here in open session that would be available to everybody, or would you prefer to provide your input to the president of the board and let the president of the board decide?
First of all, can we just start with, let's talk about the announcement. You've given us two examples of an announcement that you're going to utilize or that you could be utilized and how we're going to advertise and that. Let's just make sure we're all clear on that.
I think one was a press release and then one was...
Oh, yes, I did.
I got you from Rancho San Diego.
Oh, that was I just put today. I got that from our attorneys. What's in your packet is our suggested one for immediate release and one for a letter from the president that's attached to the application.
Oh, these are the ones you're saying.
Yeah, this is what was in your update.
That's good.
Some clarification. You had given us letters, and then you put some more examples at the table. Was it because you just wanted to give us more information, or did you feel that what you gave us may not be adequate?
No, I was comfortable with what I gave you. I just happened to get something else on my email today and decided to provide it with you as well. I'm very comfortable with what we provided. It's very similar to what you've done in the past.
Comments, questions with what was presented, with what we're going to do with that aspect of it, just the notification.
You want to take a quick look at mine, so you know?
Well, I know we had discussed asking questions at the February 18th meeting, and after receiving what went out before and some possible questions, and also now hearing the concern about questions being passed out to the other members, I'm wondering if there are some questions that I would like added to the application. And for me, if those questions are added to the application, I think I would be okay with not needing to do individual interviews with candidates and maybe just invite them if they wanted to come speak at the meeting rather than actually interviewing. But the notification seems fine to me.
One of the problems I have with that is that we don't know who's actually filling out the applications. And if it's someone totally unknown to us, if we don't have the opportunity to actually hear them dialogue, it would be nice if they didn't know the questions so we could actually hear their answers. So how well do they think on their feet? And did they actually prepare themselves for this position? If you had, and I'm not saying that there's anybody who's untrustworthy, but just in case they had someone else fill it out and they looked absolutely awesome on paper, but that wasn't them. How do we...
Well, and that's why I was thinking about just having them do like a lot, 2 minutes per candidate, where they stand there and give a campaign speech. And so that way we've leveled the playing field, and I think you'll get a better sense of who a person is when they present themselves, rather than trying to... And I know the board has done it in the past. I've been here the last few times when they've appointed board members. So I know that it can work, but for me, with how some of these questions are. I think I would like to have somebody who's applying for the board to be able to take the time to really think about it and give a complete answer that we may not get when the spotlight is on them and they get flustered. And, you know, for me, I know when I stand in front of, you know, 400 teachers, it doesn't matter how many times I've done it, I'm nervous. Or when I speak to people I'm unfamiliar with, I get nervous. So I think maybe that would be a better way of really seeing who the person is in writing, and also by giving them the quick opportunity to introduce themselves and present themselves.
So then your suggestion, tell them you have 1 minute to give us a stump speech.
Yeah.
1 minute to tell us.
2 minutes.
Tell us on why you we should select you.
We could also, is there anything in addition that they would like us to know that they didn't have the opportunity to write?
Yeah, that could be part of it.
And then, so I would really like to know that. And then I would like to know about some of the new things, how well they're educated on LCFF.
That's one of my questions.
LCF, you know, like, I had written that down, and, because we are going to be hitting the ground running with this new board member, with Common Core, the new funding formulas, and we can give them an opportunity to read up on that, but to what do they think about that, and how we can move forward with them as a board member? If there was a way that, you know, if we gave them a heads up on what they might want to do in their, I heard 1 minute, but maybe 2 minutes.
Yeah, LCF could be.
I mean, and maybe it could just be, how do we reach those populations if they have great ideas about that? Or maybe they don't want to touch on it at all, but they're going to have to hit the ground running. And it could be a question on here.
Could I recommend that we go through these questions and which ones you want, which ones you want to add, then it might help you decide what you want to ask.
Okay. Before we do that,
Okay,
so you have the application here.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea. I like the idea of expanding the application to cover that we want. And then I was going to suggest that we give the questions to everybody in advance so that they can be prepared. This is not a gotcha type session. This is we want to know what's going on. But at the same time, what we could do instead of that per se is to say, you know, we'd like to give you an opportunity. Anybody, not required, but in an open session environment, you know, 2 to 3 minutes, plead your case. If you'd like to touch to these 3 or 4 items, that would be good, and I would leave it at that. And that, you know, I mean, this may only be 1 or 2. This could be 20 or 30. So I'm trying to keep it as minimal as can, but fair to everybody else.
And maybe we can decide on the time when we see how many applicants there are.
Okay. Well, that's a good idea.
Because we'll have a week and a half between the application deadline and
the meeting. I'm sorry?
You're right.
On the 11th.
To make any changes if we want to.
You would know how many
to whatever format that we want to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Let's just glance through the application
itself. Just the application, okay.
On 4A and 4B. Is there any question that you just aren't interested in?
I like the one that Rancho Dominguez has here, because I like the idea of including the community.
Okay, we're on page 4A right. And 4B.
Okay.
Are there any questions here that you don't think are necessary?
Strike that first one and replace it with that one. I think that theirs is a...
With what?
With what Rancho's question number one is. Have you worked on any public school or community college committees or participated in any school or college activities recently? We are a pipeline into
so it's
the...
So in essence the same question.
Right, but add the...
And
take out the word recently, because, you know, maybe
you
for the...
Recently.
I did, and I'm saying take out the word recently.
But you don't want to say...
One may have a lifetime of work.
You don't want
to
say community colleges.
do you?
I like that because I like the idea that perhaps there's they've got a connection to some higher ed. And if they don't have it, that's okay.
Well, isn't a community college a school?
Yeah, I know. It does say higher ed. Okay, then we can leave it.
Communities or participated in school district activities recently. But you don't want to put recently in.
Yeah, I don't mind
taking that off.
You want to keep it as is and just take off recently? I'm sorry.
Yes. Okay. Because I think that would, if I worked in community colleges, it is a school.
Mm-hmm. And it's a district.
Yes.
Communities are participating in school district activities. Period.
Even with universities, if you were promoting education for K-12 students to get to universities, you're going to
tie that in.
Other business
yes.
community, business activities. Why do you want to be a school board member? What do you see?
Yeah, the fourth question, what would be the relationship between the board members and the administration in the handling of school concerns? Add the word the.
What do you see as a basic purpose of
what should
schools?
Be the relationship between the board members and the administration?
Sorry.
Then what do I have that you all don't have?
Well,
she changed pages. She changed pages.
Eileen
changed pages. She's the third page down.
He was going one by one.
One,
just going
two.
Down.
Oh, I'm sorry. Second page.
One,
second
one,
question.
Two, three. Fourth item is what do you see as a basic purpose of public schools? That's
okay.
fine.
Okay, that's fine.
Next page, what's the role of school board in fulfilling that purpose? That's fine. What could be done here? Improve communication relationships among the board, staff, students, parents, and community.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What should be the relationship between the board and members?
Board members and the administration.
Board members and the administration in handling
in
school
right.
concerns.
The handling of school concerns. Add the word the.
Okay. In what area?
I think you should add district administration, just to be super clear.
That's good.
But administration might also be principals?
Yeah, I consider
it's still
the
that's district.
District meaning in our district.
Okay. What would you think of handling district business and or school concerns?
The handling of?
In other words, to see if they understand the relationship between the board versus...
Oh, that's good.
Handling of school.
You could just do school district concerns.
Or school district concerns.
Okay, school district concerns.
Are you adding district business at all?
No, just school district concerns.
Okay. Next item, in what area of function as a board member would you have a particular interest or skill, for instance, public relations, budget, negotiations, evaluation, long-range planning, facilities, policy?
My suggestion is to put comma, et cetera, so that they're not limited to just what's on here.
Well, you don't think that's enough?
Well, there might be some other skill sets, and they may feel that they're being boxed in. Are you teasing me?
How about instead of et cetera?
Comma, et cetera. Okay, fine.
Yeah, that was
and on and on and
well,
on.
Well, why
on and on.
Just take out everything and just say, in what areas of function as a board member would you have a particular interest or skill? Period.
It doesn't limit them to anything.
Huh? It's more open-ended, you'd get a better...
Okay, I agree with Cammie.
All right, so eliminate everything?
That's fine.
Okay, next item, what do you see the strength of the school district?
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to add to that, basically, something along the lines of how would you help improve the strengths or...
Okay, same thing for the next one also. So
yeah.
What are the strengths? Yeah, how would you
how
add?
Would you support
how
it?
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay, I like that.
And we can
how would you support those? How would you support those strengths?
Strengthen them.
We had that in the interview questions. So it might be worded nicely in there if we.
Oh yeah, as a board member, what would you do to build on the strengths?
Yes.
You identified.
Okay.
So combine number 3 into that one.
Okay.
Well, why don't you just put entire
then
that
you just whole, put the whole question
whole
in
question 3
into that item, what are the strengths?
Okay. Okay.
Oh, then leave it. Just leave it one question, eliminate the next one.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, you still want them to identify what they see as weaknesses.
But it says it here.
It says.
Yeah.
And areas needing improvement.
Do on areas
that need improvement. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
So
we have to write the same concept. Yeah. And so you're eliminating that
question?
Yes.
Okay.
It's going to be added in with the other one. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I have ones I would like to add.
Mm-hmm.
I promise they're like easy ones.
Mine aren't.
The list after they get a
okay.
master's or a PhD or
No. The first one I would like added is we got it as what to ask prospective board members is the title of the page we got. Mm-hmm. And question number one is what do you know about our organization? Use this this as an opportunity to briefly share your mission, vision, and major initiatives.
Should that be number one?
I think that should be question number one.
From here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Oh.
Here it is. Yeah, you have it.
Yes. I think that should actually be the first question on the application.
I'm sorry, Jessica, which one? The first, number one on that?
Yes.
Second
yes.
page? Okay. What do you know about our organization? Briefly share your mission, vision, and major initiatives. I like that.
Okay. The next one,
That should be, so we're going to insert number one instead of, are we going to replace this? Have you
no,
worked?
No, just
insert?
Above it. Yeah. In between, if so, ages and schools, and have you worked on any school district? The next one that I would like added is number eight on that page. Do you have any conflicts of interest that might be viewed as limiting your objectivity as a board member? And I think that should go after, on the application, other community or business activities before why do you want to be a board member? Oh, actually, maybe that wasn't the one. No, that one would go under why do you want to be a school board member? The conflicts question.
After that one?
Why do you want to? Oh, I see. And then.
Yes.
So, why do you want to be a school board member? And do you have any conflicts of interest?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you looking for legal type conflicts of interest, or are you looking for philosophical?
Let's see what they tell us.
Yeah, I think I'm looking for both. And I think most people will see it as the legal. No, I think it's okay. I just it is because I think that will also tell a lot about the person with the answer.
So first, why do you want to be a board member, and then do you have any?
Yes.
And then combined, you're
no separate question.
Separate. Okay, so you want to follow?
Yes.
Okay.
And then the other questions I have. I did not put in a particular place. I can just tell you which ones they were. They were on the document we got titled West Covina Unified School District Board of Education Candidate Interview Questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I was interested in adding numbers 6, 7, 8, 11, and 14.
What are your expectations of management? 6, what did you say?
No.
What are
you're on the wrong one.
What are your feelings about the role of the teachers' union in deciding district policy? Where's David when we needed him?
Oh, he just went
in. He's added to the application.
Board of Education.
Those are the ones I suggest you right
just
now. They
we're talking about just hang on just a second. So 6, 7, 8, 11, 7 is our present. Oh, if our present bond does not meet the facility needs, it is. How do you feel about going to the public for bond election? What's your position on charter schools? 11 is if a community member comes up to you and says they've heard something about that, so that's confidentiality. Yeah, I think those are excellent.
Okay, let me see. You said 6?
6, 7, 8, 11, and 14.
And we can figure out which
do you have any?
6, 7, 8,
6, 7, 8, 11, and 14.
Yes.
Okay. No, I do. Not from this list, but...
Did I say I was finished?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, me. Sorry.
Oh, you finished that page, so...
Yes, I actually am finished.
Okay, so are you finished?
But I heard Mr. Cox say okay. Ms. Menes, were you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Polis?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I got it.
Okay. Here was a suggestion that I wrote out. We have a new first question. So underneath that new first question that we're asking about their vision, mission, values, here was the suggestion I had. Have you read the district strategic plan? How do your goals support the implementation of the strategic plan, ? Common Core, ? And LCFF, ? So to Cammie's point, I had already thought about, well, what do they know about Common Core and LCFF? And how does what they want to do support these things that are coming down the pipeline? And so, and I'm encouraging our candidates to take a look at our strategic plan. So,
can I make a recommendation?
Yes.
I think if I saw that on speaking,
that's
I think that's a good question, but I think you're going to discourage people from running.
That's way inside the ballpark.
I mean, I think we've been dealing with this for so long, it's a part of our, you know, I almost think that would be the question to ask everybody as they come up, but if I had to write that in an application, I think it would discourage me from...
We're talking three sentences.
I just know when
three
we asked our candidates...
Three sentence response.
Well, and I would just say that when they share their mission, vision, and major initiatives, we should be able to see how it lines up with where we know we've built the strategic plan.
If they mention it in there.
Yeah.
Okay. And then my other question, which maybe is a little easier and they can do in three sentences. What does the ideal high school graduate look like? Skills, abilities, strengths. What will you do as a board member working with the body of the board do to achieve that? So that was...
And if they say, yeah, I saw their pictures on the in the newspaper the other day after the fire. Go ahead.
So that was my suggestion.
Comments.
What does that ideal graduate look like, and what would they do as a board member working with us do to achieve that? So that was my suggestion.
Go ahead.
I'll
get back to you.
I also had on the WCUSD, Jessica had named all of them, but one that I was thinking about. And it's, the board relies on information from the superintendent. If you believe information you receive is inaccurate, what do you do? Yes. I like that question. And Jessica did not have that on her list, so I'm not sure if...
The reason I didn't have it is because one of our questions asks what should the relationship between the board members and the district administration be in the handling of the school district, and so a district concern. So I just maybe thought that that would sort of fall into it. I don't have a problem adding it.
Well, this was very specific,
mm-hmm.
and just from past experience, that was one of the questions I put a star next to because we've had issues in the past and that I would like to hear the answer to, but I don't want to I want to make this a pleasant experience, and I don't want to, from prior bad experiences, I don't want to bring that into this, and if that's going to be color this in any way, I don't want the question there.
I would prefer that it not be
okay.
asked.
Okay,
because it is a negative question if you believe it's inaccurate.
I mean, I think...
should be fired him or her.
Then we're going to get just where we don't want to go.
That's fine.
I hope we don't want to go.
And I think that's why the question where it asks about the relationship between the board will sort of...
That works.
...touch on that a little bit.
And I believe that... question was probably already on here. the question 12, what do you feel the board member's role should be in negotiating involving teachers? And that was on the interview questions, I believe, already.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so those are everything I had, Mark. I think that's why I had an asterisk next to it, that it was already done. Those are the only suggestions. Oh, and then I had something about, do we want to find out more about their education, background, special skills or experiences they might bring to the table?
I thought there was something in here.
Yeah, I thought.
What? Oh, no.
Wouldn't that be a question?
Yeah.
In
what area of function of board member would you have a particular interest or skill you want to reward?
Yeah, doesn't that fall into this?
No, that's what. What are that's what you might want to you're interested in doing or bringing?
Well, we do have other community or business activities.
I saw that, but there it is. Other community or business activities. Would that fulfill, or do you want to expand on that?
Well, and maybe we could add in there, because I don't want to limit it to community. What if they have a great educational background, or they have in other arenas that we're not thinking of? I would like. And I don't want them to leave that off.
Can we expand that to say other community business or educational
background? No, I think that's a different question entirely, because other community or business activities could be I'm part of the Rotary Club, I'm part of the Lions Club, and that's not really what we're asking.
Teach a course at the university.
Yeah.
Right.
But
no, I think
so
you could PhD say educational activities.
Well, the line we follow there is I think it probably wasn't on here before, because when you run for office, you don't have to have a certain educational background, certain experiences. And so maybe that's part of the – we do have that they list their occupation, but maybe that's part of, as Debbie said, what special experience you'd bring. Like for me, if I was filling that out, I would say – you know, my legal background. I'm
right.
able to read and understand contracts. So that's already covered in
the
application. Job. And so maybe talking about their background is what that 3-minute or 2-minute speech they give is. Because that's how they introduce themselves.
I have no problem with you.
Okay.
Okay. Or did we decide? I don't have a problem with that. What did you decide?
We're here to serve you.
Well, if I was God, it would be up to me. I'm part of a board.
I'm not.
And we come to consistency. But
I mean, you.
And it wasn't so much the education I was trying to get out. I just wanted to make sure we had all of their skill sets. But I'm sure that if they had something that they really wanted us to know, they're going to get it on that application. So, yes.
You know, for instance, if...
Or in the speech,
Yes.
I've been preparing income tax returns for the last 3 years. That's what... You know, but over the last 40 years, I taught and got a PhD and all those other
stuff. Right, I'm sure that information
that
will
get
come
in
out.
There. Yeah.
Those were the only comments I had.
Don't worry. Yeah. Do we anything else? Do you have? Is somebody taking notes on this?
Yes, I am. Yeah. There's three of us taking notes, right? So we'll.
Well, it'll be a meeting of the minds.
Now, did you have something that you specifically wanted in there that we've
No, I already said it, and it fell silent, so it's okay. I let it go. That was my ideal candidate question, so I let it go.
But hopefully they're listening to the tape, and they're going to know your ideal candidate questions.
And add that to their stump
speech.
Yes.
There's not going to be... excuse me. Sorry. So these are okay, but we're not going to do an interview. We need to adapt those to say, I'm just looking at the community thing. The board will screen all applications and will conduct personal interviews. So we don't want personal interviews. Mm-hmm. We want to change that.
Right.
Right.
But may have the opportunity to address the board.
Each candidate
not
will have the opportunity to address the board. That's what we'll say.
For a time, and maybe we want to say time to be determined.
Okay.
Because...
Well, I don't want to prepare. I don't want to prepare for a 10-minute speech. Yeah, and then take them back and we'll cut it down to 2 minutes.
Three minutes.
Yeah,
it's a long time.
Well, if we have 20 candidates,
that'll change.
Yeah. So, to be determined at the February 11th meeting.
Well, and maybe we want to say in between 1 and 3 minutes. So then they'll know that it's not going to be more.
I don't know that we need to. Just leave it general, and then depending upon before they come, before the 18th, we'll just notify that we want you to do such and such.
Okay, so that's the only thing we'll change. We'll have the opportunity to address the board.
The other thing I noticed is we didn't mention anything about the meeting about the district that we said we were going to offer the candidates.
We actually have 2 dates. We can put that in there. We've already identified 2 dates.
Oh, good.
We can add that.
I mean, okay.
A letter to the candidate.
All right. Next item on the agenda is an information report on local control funding formula, LCFF, and the local control accountability plan, developed and processed to include all stakeholders in providing input to the plan.
I just want to put this on consent.
Or we could table
it. We can.
We could table it to the next meeting, unless you're real excited about.
No, I'm just saying, if you feel comfortable with what's on here, it's up to you folks. I mean, it's your decision.
Can
I just pick one page to address?
Sure.
This is something I would like to.
Well, I think this is an important issue. Are we not going to speak to it at the next meeting?
This is the meeting to speak to it.
Yeah, because this is our planning.
Do you want me to go through it quickly? And
yes.
Go through it quickly.
I don't think we should not.
I got it. So, and I'm going to assume in doing this presentation before that you've all read the PowerPoint, and I have added other pages. And I'm going to assume that everybody understands what the LCFF is and what the LCAP is.
This thing? And pull your microphone down.
Okay. Thank you. So, I mean, the basic understanding right now is that this is a new funding formula that's new to the state of California and different from the last 40 years. And it's basically doing away with categorical money that we've been given for specific purposes and putting that categorical money into one pot and giving the districts more flexibility. And it is a 3-year plan. So I think that's important to note because we already have a strategic plan that's a 5-year plan and that we want to look at how these two come together. Okay. I think what's important with the LCAP and the strategic plan, that their annual goals to be achieved for all students and for subgroups of students. And that we have to have specific actions just like we do in our strategic plan, and that we have to assess it each year to see if we're making progress, and that the budget needs to be closely aligned to LCAP, and that's exactly what our strategic plan is. It's a new way of thinking. It's kind of backwards design in terms of rather than how much money do we have and what do we want to spend it on, it's really looking at what do we want for kids to ensure their improvement and how are we going to build a budget around that. And that was the purpose of our strategic plan when we built our strategic plan for the same purpose. What do we want kids to achieve? What are we going to provide them and how we're going to pay for it? So it's all in line with what we've already done in terms of our strategic plan in terms of concept. There are 8 state priorities, and as we look at those state priorities, it's important to say what have we already accomplished through our district plan. So when we're looking at standards and materials and adopted content materials for all students, that's in our strategic plan. If we're looking at facilities, we're also looking at the Williams. In priority 2, again, is including access for ELs and EL proficient students, and again, it's part of our strategic plan, the Common Core implementation, and it needs to be above what we provide for all students. parent involvement has always been really important to our district. And I think, again, when we're looking at our strategic plan, I just want to point out that in our strategic plan, we did focus groups with all parents, not all parents that represented parents. We did a survey online that all parents could participate in terms of what we want for all students. And this year, both Ms. Hawkins and myself have gone to every single school to talk about the implementation of our strategic plan and how it is reflected with the Common Core. So there's been a lot of community input up to now that I think goes hand in hand with the LCAP. The achievement data, if you look at our strategic plan and at the back of our strategic plan, we have collected data for student achievement that we wanted to look at. That was above just state data, and everything that's listed in state priority 4 and 5, we've already started collecting data on in our district, and so it's not something that's new to us, but this data we have to use to really look at our needs going forward for these certain populations. A big part of LCAP that is also part of our strategic plan is we're looking at attendance, dropout rate, and graduation rate, and we've already collected data on that. We have 2 years of data for that. On priority 6 is school climate, and although we have been doing surveys in all of our schools on school climate, that was not part of our strategic plan, and we suspension rates and kids feeling safe about school. I think there's some more work we need to do on that for the LCAP. We've kind of touched it, but I don't think it's an area that we still need to look at in terms of priority 6. And priority 7 and 8, again, I think it's been a real philosophy of our district that all kids should have the opportunity to take any classes that they want to take. Other districts have criteria for AP and IB courses, and we already have that open to all kids, so I think it's a matter of collecting data. We also have the AVID classes, which is a different form of in classes for students, and we also have the ROP classes that we provide. So there is a range of classes and opportunities for all students. So I think with the priorities, for me, we are addressing them on an ongoing basis. They're not new to us as a district. They're priorities that we've addressed. We may have to go a little bit deeper with LCAP, but this is not new information for us. I gave you a copy of the template. This was a draft template in terms of what we have to fill out. And in this template on page 2, it actually tells you that they're taking all of those state priorities and putting them into 3 areas: conditions of learning, pupil outcomes, and engagement. So that's the way this is organized. I think I already talked about needs assessments, so I'm not going to talk about that now. The template is into 3 sections, looking at stakeholder engagement, goals and progress indicators, action, services, and expenditures. Let me just get my notes here. Now, I put these questions in here. I'm not going to read them. The questions are also in here. But I think what I wanted to really point out in the template is it's a narrative. They're really asking us questions to explain how we got that information. They're really asking us how we got that information, and so it's a narrative form. So although it sounds very cumbersome, if you look at this template, it's not that many pages, and it's really for us to share what we have already done or what we are doing. And these are guiding questions in terms of evidence of meaningful stakeholder engagement that we have to address in here. And I've explained some of them that we've used already. Goals and progress indicators. I think what's really important here, number 2, is what are the specific goals for any individual school sites or subgroups? So although our strategic plan has goals that we have for all students, I think what we do need to focus on in the LCAP is what goals we have for these specific subgroups as well. So if you look at the strategic plan, these are our goals. How are we going to make sure that these subgroups are succeeding in these goals? And the other thing that I think is important is we have to have specific outcomes, metrics and noticeable changes for each year. Right now in our strategic plan, because we did not know what kind of metrics we were using, we just kind of said all kids, all students will meet or exceed state standards. But for this particular LCAP, we actually have to look at each subgroup and say, what do we expect them to do year one, year two, and year three? So that's new to what's not in our strategic plan. This is just a summary of what I just said in terms of goals. Okay, in terms of performance, again, I just said we have to show what is meant by change or improvement. We have to use metrics. And so there's a lot of questions we have to ask here. What assessments do we use? So the assessment data that we have been collecting in terms of performance is the STAR data. The assessment data that we will be using to show improvement is the Smarter Balance assessment data. And we're really talking about apples and oranges. And we have to come up with what those indicators are going to look like. So we're basically being asked to show what progress our kids are going to be making using two different assessment pieces of data when we already know that the Smarter Balance is much more rigorous and that probability is if a child was proficient under the STAR, that same child may not measure proficient under the Smarter Balance. And what do we do? How do we pick those indicators? And so my recommendation is that right now we know with the STAR that we have advanced, proficient, basic, below basic, and far below basic. Those are the proficiency levels. We need to assume that in the Smarter Balance, there's also going to be proficiency levels. So I think for the beginning, as we write this, we may want to look at proficiency levels, and we may have to change them as we get more information about the assessment data. But it's almost impossible to predict what that growth is going to look like when you're using two different assessments, and you really don't know what that second assessment is. So the superintendents that I've been talking to are just going to use these proficiency bands, and then we have to be flexible for year one, year two, year three, as we know more about the Smarter Balance. We're kind of in a really awkward situation right now. So we're going to be writing a plan that we may have to amend next year when we have more information. I just want to talk about the supplement and concentration grant. We already know that the students that we need to be looking at is an unduplicated count of English learners, students of poverty, foster youth, and redesignated as fluent English proficient students. And right now, our unduplicated percentage is 73.1. So we know almost 3/4 of our district students qualify. So what that means for us, and through emergency regulation, what that means is if we find something that's really beneficial to all students, we can apply the supplement and concentration grant to all students. That the idea is not to just take a certain segment and give them opportunities that we're not going to give all students.
I'm sorry, what was that percentage again?
73.1. I think it's much more difficult for a district that has 15%. You really are going to focus only on those 15%. And the other concept that I really want us to think about is, you know, where do we start? What are we already doing? Looking at that, of what we're already doing, is it working? If it is, that's good. If it's not, what would we do differently? And that in the first two transition years, we're going from having no flexibility to flexibility, but we're talking about the same funds. So we're taking all of those funds that were categorical funds in the restricted, and we're moving them into the general fund and building out of that. So I think it's a concept that's going to take us time, and all districts a time, to build a budget and get rid of that concept of restricted funds and what we've been doing with those funds versus what we can be doing, and it's going to be a transition period. You can't just do it overnight. And in terms of activities and services, I think what I want to say to this is, although in our strategic plan, we said that we really want to build this plan and then spend our budget to support the plan, well, right now, we actually have to show it in our budget, what funds are being designated to meet those goals. So it's a concept we've been talking about in our district, but we haven't really reported it that way, and we're going to be required to report it that way. And that's really the next two. When you get to services, I think what I want to point out here is we need increased or improved services. So I think the first step for our district is, what services are we already providing to these subgroups, and are they working, and if not, how do we improve them? And as the money continues to grow, we can also, and if we're not, we can take those funds and use them differently. But as the money continues to grow each year, we'll have more and more money to actually add new things to the plate. But there's going to be a transition from what we're already doing to doing new things. Levels of engagement. I just want to emphasize some things on here. There are several levels of engagement. The first one is consultation. And so that's where we meet with teachers, principals, school personnel, and the local bargaining units, and we share some of the things we're doing, and I look at this as being more like a public forum, where we're sharing what we're already doing, we get input in terms of what's working, what's not working, and what would you like us to do differently. And we take that information to an advisory group, which is number two. And in that advisory group, we have parents, teachers, school district people who represent these populations, so that group is going to look at what the public forum presented, but have more refined input. The public forum I see as kind of a one-time thing. The advisory group I see as an ongoing group that works with us in terms of what needs to go into the plan, when we write the plan, to look at the plan and comment on it. That's two and three. Three is then, once we have the plan, there's a public hearing, people have an opportunity to give more input, and then the board adopts it. This just goes more into detail. So again, when I'm thinking of consulting, I'm thinking of a public forum where we invite certain people from every school, so we make sure we have people there, but we leave it open to anybody who wants to attend. But we kind of identify who are those stakeholders that need to be at that meeting and open it up to everybody. And I see that as being a large group.
You keep saying we. Who does that we, is it our... Is the board listening to all of this? Is the superintendent and another designee listening to all of this? Who's the we that you keep?
The way I perceive this piece of it is that we would have a large group. The goal would be 100 people, if not more, but the goal would be 100 people. And we would have various tables. And we would have board members there to facilitate the conversation at every table, and we would have district personnel facilitating the conversation. We wouldn't be adding to it, but we would have guided questions that we're asking and getting the input from these individual tables. So I see the board as being facilitators, but not providing input at that time. And I see district personnel as being facilitators and not providing input, but facilitating the conversation with guided questions.
Thank you.
Again, the advisory group, I just mentioned, and I'm just going to say it again, is I think we look at representation from each school in terms of parents, representatives from the subgroups, from the advisory groups that already exist at schools. But this group is not going to be more than 30 people. I think you have to keep this, because this is a group that's going to be reading, giving input. So this group, I would think, would be about 30 people. I'm just throwing that number out. It could be more, it could be less. But this group is really the one who's going to take the input, work with the district, and provide advice to us in terms of building the plan. We would then develop the plan and bring it back to this group. I think we need to be able to share what it is. We would do fact sheet that goes out. We'd have the plan. I shouldn't say an LCFF. It should say LCAP. That's a mistake on our website. And we give the public the opportunity to respond. In the LCAP, anybody who responds to us in writing, gives us suggestions, the superintendent has to respond in writing. So if 100 people give me input, I have to respond individually to each person in writing. And that's part of the regulations.
And it's you personally?
Me personally. So we have to think about that and what that might look like. That's kind of a really big thing. This is just a summary of what I've already said. So I just want to talk about the timeline. This is an ongoing process. So after this year, it really starts in August and goes this kind of timeline because we have to do this annual review. So it's a whole year part that we have to do for 3 years. The reality is we have from now till June to make all this happen. And this is on top of everything we have on our plate that we didn't identify this year. So it's really big. So my recommendation is that we hold a public forum by March 1st, that by April 1st, we've completed, we meet with the advisory group between April 1st and April 30th to get have them look at that input. And, I mean, in March, after we have the public forum, we have the advisory group in several times to look at the input. Based on that, we write the draft by April 1st. This is a really tight timeline. By April 30th, we have the advisory group go over it again. And May is public comment. We give the public an opportunity to respond. And by June, you folks adopt it. So it's major. I guess that's what I want to say.
Public forum in March?
Public forum by March 1st.
That doesn't include the board, does it?
That's up to you. My recommendation, you would be there to facilitate it, but that's really a decision you would make. And maybe you have, if you don't all want, but my recommendation, you'd all be at a table. You'd have the questions ahead of time, and you'd be facilitating the conversation.
So it'd have to be a published
Yes. meeting? Yes. It's not a meeting.
Would this be the 14th, the 18th, or the 25th?
This is a separate meeting that we would have a public forum.
But run out of Tuesday.
Doesn't have to be on a Tuesday. It's not a board meeting. It's a public forum. You're there to listen. You're not there to decide. So it's not really a board meeting. And you're not making any decisions. You're just facilitating.
But if we're all there talking about district business, it still has to be public stuff.
Oh, right. I mean, that part isn't... It's not that you're going to make any decisions there. You're all going to be at separate tables. You guys are not going to be interacting. There's going to be a script that we have for every table, so we're getting the same information. You would just be there to facilitate it, if you choose. If you tell me you don't want that, we can handle that ourselves, but it's an opportunity that you have to be a part of it. The main thing I want to say is we have done a lot of this work in terms of the development of our strategic plan. And you already know what the goals are. You have them on your table. You know intimately what we've worked on. But I think this is the important slide. And this is compare and contrast. And you probably can't read it on your page because I can't.
You can't read it on the screen either. It's better on here.
Yeah.
Basically, what do we have in common between the district plan and the LCAP? There are specific actions for each goal. Annually, every year we have specific actions. The Common Core State Standards are in both. Both of them have a needs assessment. We did a needs assessment with the strategic plan, and there's a needs assessment with the LCAP. The goal for both is that all students will meet or exceed district, state, and federal accountability standards, and that all students will graduate ready for college, career, and life in a global competitive community. What's different, let me say what's the same. We've collected multiple forms of data for our strategic plan, and that seems to be the same data that we're being asked to have for the LCAP. Both of them have the engagement of parents, teachers, students, administrators, and the district ELAC. And the annual school goals are aligned to both plans. So whatever the big plan is, the annual school goals have to be aligned to it. What's different about the LCAP that we need to address? There's the 8 priority areas that are outlined, although I think many of them are in our strategic plan, but we have to make sure we're addressing them. Progress based on identified metrics. We don't currently have that in our strategic plan, but we're going to have an annual project in our LCAP for all students and for the subgroups. In the LCAP, there's a specific focus on ELs, low income, and foster care youth. On the LCAP, goals must address each state priority area as well as local priorities, and I think ours is the opposite. I think most of the state priorities are in our strategic plan, but there are some additional ones, but we have to put those two together. In LCAP, specific funds need to be allocated to increase or improve services for identified pupils. In the LCAP, consultation with local bargaining units. Yes, it's all units. That was not necessary, although they participated in our strategic plan. They did not consult. Annual actions and expenditures related to the goals for all pupils. So again, When we do our budget, which we didn't have to do with the strategic plan, we actually have to have how we're spending the money to meet those goals. Parent advisory committee with parents represented identified groups. We have a zillion advisory committees throughout our district, but we may have to make sure that parents representing those identified subgroups are on this separate advisory committee. We can still go to each advisory committee at each school and have them look at our plan and comment on it, but ultimately we have to have this district group that represents these subgroups. And again, differentiated goals for the identified subgroups. Although we have goals and objectives and actions for all the kids in our district, we have to take those goals and say, how are our subgroups doing? What is the data telling us? And what are we going to do to increase that? So a lot of the work has been done, but a tremendous amount of work still needs to be done. In terms of the supplemental and concentration grant funds, we know for 13-14, $2 million have been designated. 14-15, $6.8 million. And 15-16, $10.1 million. We've been spending a lot of time these last few days kind of asking ourselves, what programs do we currently have in place that serve these populations? We've listed them for you. Currently, we think that in our budget, we spend a minimum of $5.11 million, because all we've looked at is the flexible funds. We have not looked at the general funds to see what other things we have been providing for these populations. I think this is where we start with our community forum, is in terms of explaining how we have been servicing these kids and giving the community an opportunity to say, do you think it's working? Do you think it really improves achievement? What else would you recommend? Because these are the funds that we would have to either keep or change going forward. So this would be the basis of the conversation for this year with our community. Questions?
I want to say that I'm really thrilled by the idea of the board being involved in facilitating, because every training that I've gone to thus far has said we as board members need to be very intimately involved, know what our community wants, know what the community thinks, be on top of our data. So I really like that idea, because I think it fulfills that obligation that we've been tasked to do. So thank you, and I appreciate that we would all have the same questions, and then that gives us the opportunity to hear. And yes, I know it's a tight timeline. Everybody kept saying that. Tight timeline between January and June. You all are going to be in 12 different directions. So I like how you laid it out for us. And I think the timeline will work, but it is going to be tight. But thank you. Thank you. Very well done.
How are we going to have evidence of meaningful stakeholder engagement? I know that there was a bilingual group at one of our elementary schools that the parents felt didn't represent them as a whole, and because they couldn't make it to the meetings during the day, that their children, they didn't feel their voices were being heard. And at that particular elementary school, the group gave all of their rights to school site council to vote, and so then they really felt unheard. How? And then another subgroup, foster care. I don't know any group in our district that serves foster care children in particular. And I had asked the question, what's the percentage of foster care youth in our district? Did we get that number?
Do you have that? But we have it.
Yes.
Okay. Can we email that tomorrow? I'm sorry.
I don't approximate. Just curious. I mean, is it 10%? Is it 2%? Is it 50%?
It's not 50%. The difficult with that, it's unduplicated. So if they fall into EL, I don't want to make. I can't tell you.
And then
do you have any idea?
I don't have. That's why I asked the question.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I had quite a simple question.
And so we're going to get that. Jimmy.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
How foster youth are always going to be duplicated, because they qualify for free and reduced lunch. So they would be students of poverty, because that's the qualification, right? If you qualify for free and reduced lunch, and every foster child qualifies for free and reduced lunch. So in the past, what I've seen is, and I know this is going to change, but I want to know how it's going to change for foster youth. If they're doing okay educationally, they're not the ones that are going to get the before and after school tutoring or the pullout during class, because they look really great at that moment. But there's a lot of other things going on with them. I think that they should have priority for any group that's not just, they don't have to test into a group. Because, and what if they go back to their families and they're reunified, which is the goal of foster care? They're no longer in foster care. Do they still receive services? If they're reunified.
Here's the way I'm picturing it, Cam. I mean, this is new territory for all of us. In terms of representation, I think it's really important that in that advisory group we have parents of foster care kids, because that's where we're really going to have that kind of conversation. In the larger group, it's going to get mixed up with everything else. But in that advisory group, they're there to advocate for those kids and give us that kind of input. So I think who we select for that advisory group, and that also goes for that EL population, that's very handpicked with people that we really think represent these groups of people. We have to be very diligent about getting that and working with our schools in terms of recommending that and putting it out publicly. Unfortunately, I don't think a lot of people volunteer. I think you're really going to have to go out and pull people, but giving both. So I think the representation of that advisory committee is really important. You bring up a lot of good questions about foster care youth. And I think that's part of the conversation we have. In my mind, when I just try to understand, again, what it's going to look like 3 years from now versus this year based on the short timeline, I mean, I'm really picturing, you know, we have the triangle of interventions. And I think we need to kind of look at that intervention in terms of foster care youth, EL, and students of poverty. And on this bottom thing, probably they're all going to look the same. But as we go up in terms of the more needs that they have, the kinds of interventions that we're going to have on there are going to be more specific to those groups. And I think right now we spend a lot of money on interventions, but I can't tell you if it's done the same. I think part of our job is to develop these triangles of intervention, and I'm probably calling it the wrong thing. It's like RTI. And so that when our schools are spending money on interventions, they're looking at what we've looked at as best practices and research, and the interventions have to come from these areas so that we make sure that we're really identifying the needs. I think right now you can go from school to school and the interventions look very different. Some are more, show more improvement than others. And I think part of what I like about the LCAP, it really gives us the opportunity of stepping back and saying, what is good intervention for these three groups? And identifying it through good research so that we have it at the end of this year, probably not, but what you can write in your LCAP is what you're going to do to get that information. So some of the things that we write in there might not be what we're doing right now, but our goals that we're going to accomplish maybe year one of the LCAP.
And for foster care youth, it was in the backup information that you sent us, they really wanted social workers, not just foster parents, but anybody who deals with foster care youth. Now, has anyone done this yet, and how do you get the people who need to be at the table sitting there with that valuable information, and it's more than one meeting? So, was there funding to be able to supplement maybe some of the professionals that you want at the table? How does that work? Or does DCFF, the Department of Children and Family Services, have they bought into this, and are they willing to send people to these meetings?
They're in the regs. I don't think anybody has delved that deep. In my mind, for the first year, because I really think it's going to change, when we look at that advisory committee, we have Marker and Nancy, we've got people in our district, and maybe they could identify some community people that we already work with, because I really want people who know our district. And for that advisory group, that we have people committed on that advisory group who represent. We're going to do the best we can to meet this year, but it really is a work in progress. But I think those kinds of people need to be represented on that advisory committee.
Some agencies are so overworked as it is. that I don't, they might be putting a child's life in danger if they were sitting in a meeting. I mean, that might be how they were looking at it.
I think we have relationships with people from specific agencies that's who we would ask to be there.
Okay.
And that they have relationships with us and would probably want to be there.
And that's what one of my big questions is, how are we going to get the people at the table? But we've already built some relationships, and then hopefully for next year, some of these questions will be...
When I saw that while I was doing this, my eyes popped open too. It's going to be hard enough to get our own people there. How do we get other people there? And again, I just have to keep saying what I'm hearing, the same way we're hearing about Smarter Balance. What it looks like this year is going to be different as we move forward. This is an ongoing process.
Thank you very much.
What I'd like to do is to have the board revisit my goals in terms of, it's probably time for my mid-year evaluation. So I'd like to share with you what I've accomplished and what we've accomplished up to now. But I think between now and the rest of the year, you can see what we're going to be focusing on. So I think we need to revisit that so there's good communication. Thank you.
Any board discussion? Board's dates to remember: February 10th is Lincoln's holiday, the offices will be closed, and February 11th is our next Board of Education meeting. And to go on just a little bit further, the 18th is the appointment process, and the 25th would be the next meeting after that. There being no other further business, the meeting is adjourned at 9:05.
I just want you guys to know that I'm going to be at the superintendent's symposium.